My sermon. I wanted a story. You know, the past few weeks I've had a story to introduce my sermon, and this week didn't have one. I prayed, and God didn't give me anything. But I want to tell you this morning, God is good. He gave us an illustration. Our battle is not with the sound equipment this morning. It's a spiritual battle, and the devil will do anything he can to mess up our service and to do what he can to get his foot in the door, whatever he needs to do. So this morning, my illustration, my opening is the sound equipment. But the devil, we didn't let him get in. We went ahead in anyway. And like Shay said, I don't know about you guys, but I was sitting back there and it was awesome. If you brought your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to Luke chapter 4? We're going to start right at the beginning of Luke chapter 4, the verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, will you stand with me? Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it'll be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him up to Jerusalem and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our midst today. You may be seated. Mark tells us this story of Jesus being tempted is recorded in the Gospels in several places. Mark says that Jesus was baptized, and Mark's got a short little, he's got a little brief description of what takes place. And he says Jesus was baptized, and then immediately, at once, the Spirit sent him into the wilderness, and he was tempted. The devil says to Jesus, he says, tell this stone to become bread. In other words, he was telling Jesus to distrust God. You see, Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days, and he hadn't ate. He was hungry, it says. And the devil comes to him, and the devil says, don't wait on God to provide bread. Tell this stone to become bread. In other words, he was asking him to distrust God. Then the devil says, if you worship me, it'll all be yours. All of this can be yours. What he was telling him, Jesus, was you can obtain whatever you want. You don't need God. I can give that to you. We know that was a lie, but that's what he was telling Jesus is, you can have it all. You don't need God. Throw yourself down from here. This is kind of interesting. The devil quoted scripture to Jesus. And he says, the angels will come and save you, right? But again, Jesus says, it is said, don't put the Lord God your to the test. Essentially, the devil was telling Jesus to prove God's word was true by forcing God's hand. Will he really do what he says? Put him to the test. Let's find out. Does this story seem a bit familiar to you? Because if you look in Genesis, and then in chapter 3, there was a serpent, we know it was the devil, right? And he came to Eve, and he said, did God really say that? In other words, he was telling Eve, can you really trust God? You remember the next part? He says, and you will be like God. You eat from this, you're going to be just like God. In other words, you can have whatever you want. You can get it on your own. You don't need God. It doesn't say, but we know the purpose of the serpent was for Eve to eat the fruit, right? That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to get her to eat the fruit. Essentially, the devil was saying, make God prove it. Eat that fruit. See if what he says is true. It is the same old story. The devil tries to get us to distrust God. Tries to give us lies that says that we can have anything we want. We don't need God. And make God prove what he's saying. As I said earlier, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It is truly a spiritual battle. I've come to understand that. And you guys will understand this in a minute. But when I was back there and the sound quit working, I said, praise you, Lord. Because I've come to understand that when something good is going to happen, the devil is going to fight as hard as he can to stop that. And I've almost got to the point where when something bad doesn't happen, then I know that, well, maybe I'm not trying hard enough to do something good. You know what I'm saying? When we have vacation Bible adventures, when I wake up in the morning, I fully expect to have a flat tire on my car. I'm thinking, I know that something is happening this week, and I know that the devil's going to try to do the best that he can to stop that. And so if I have a flat tire, I get up in the morning, and I walk out, and I look at the car tires, and I go, wow, they're not flat. Well, maybe. Is it going to start? A few years ago, it was probably about 10 years ago, we were doing a vacation Bible adventures, and I had worked that day, and I got out, make sure I had plenty of time to make it to the church here so that we could get to, so that I could get here and do what I needed to do. And I left work, and I started driving, and I'm driving along, and the front end starts to shimmy a little bit, and I'm saying, there's something wrong with this car. And I'm thinking, yeah, maybe it's some mud on the tires. Maybe it's something. And all of a sudden I realize, no, there is something really, really wrong with this car, and I need to. And I slammed on the brakes. I stopped right in the middle of the road. There was no one behind me. There was no one around. I was on Hickory Ridge Road, and I stopped. I got out of the car. I looked at the right front wheel. There was no lug nuts left on the wheel. Well, there was one, but it had like one thread on there, and there was literally nothing holding the wheel on. It was just a matter of if I would have turned it, it would have fell off. And I thought, I have vacation Bible adventures tonight. I gotta make it to the church. And I sat there in the middle of the road and went, okay, what do I do? And I turned and I looked this way, and this is the honest truth. My uncle lives on Hickory Ridge Road, and his driveway was right there. I said, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And I very carefully, very slowly turned into his driveway. I walked up. I knocked on the door. I said, I have vacation Bible adventures tonight. I'm going to be late. I need to get my car fixed. Can you run me to the auto parts store really quick? And so he hopped in his car. We drove to the auto parts. I got some wheel studs. I popped them in there. I put the wheel back on. I said, thank you very much for helping me out. Jumped in the car, and I raced here to the church just to get here in time to see Vacation Bible Adventures conclude for the night. I totally missed it. One of the teenagers, Travis, came up to me, and he said, when you didn't show up tonight, I didn't know what to do. But then I remembered back, because I was in charge of the games. And I was in charge of the games, and he said, I stepped up and I ran the games for you tonight. I did all the games. Part of the thing that I did with the games was to quiz them about the other areas that they had been to that night. So they had been to the scripture memorization, and they'd been to the other sites. And when they made it to my games, I questioned them. So, what'd you learn tonight? Tell me more about this story. Tell me about what's going on. You know, what you learned. And they would answer. And so I assumed that Travis had filled in, and Travis had filled in and done the game part. What teenager wouldn't hop in and play games with kids, right? But I didn't think that he would have fulfilled the other part of actually quizzing the kids and stuff. And he came to me that night, and he said, I did the games, but more, I did the question just like you did. And I asked him what they learned, and I didn't let them just say, answer off the top of their head. I really quizzed them, and I really made sure they knew what they were talking about. Wow, was I floored. Because I knew God's purpose was for me to not be there that night. Jesus entered into the temptation with the devil, as he says, full of the Holy Spirit. Can you remember the time before you had the Holy Spirit? Can you remember back that? I can remember when it was hard to listen to the Holy Spirit. I wish that I could tell these teens how to listen to the Holy Spirit like I understand it now, but when I was a teenager, you know what I'm saying? I've developed and learned how to understand the Holy Spirit and His prompting now. And I wished I knew it back when I was a teenager. But You remember those times when Sunday you went to church. It was Sunday you went to church. But when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and He talks to you, church is something that you look forward to, that you anticipate, that you can't do without, and you want to rush there. Yeah. Yesterday I'm at work, and the Holy Spirit says, He said, as near as I can tell, He said, Joe Deheen. And I was just about ready for a break, and I got up and I went and I went and I looked, and Joe was not at his desk. That made me think even more. What's going on? And so I walked out to the car. I took out my phone, and I was going to send Joe a little message and say, hey, just wanted to tell you to have a good weekend, because he was on my mind. And I opened up my I turned on my phone and found out his dad had passed away. And so the message yesterday was, I'm praying for you. But the Holy Spirit was what prompted me, and it I'm sad to say, it took me this long, this many years, to get to the point where I can listen to the Holy Spirit like that. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, it says, these things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What have we received as not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us? In Romans 8:26 and 27, it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. I'm telling you, young people, teenagers, if you can invest in your time to understand and try to listen to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you. Sometimes it doesn't even make sense what He's telling you to do. But if you can learn to develop that understanding of the Holy Spirit, and you can grow in that understanding, I'm telling you what, it is amazing what the Holy Spirit will work in your life. Jesus entered into the temptation from the devil full of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say this. He was hungry. His stomach was empty. He didn't eat anything for 40 days. He was hungry, but he was full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And in 40 days, he was still full of the Holy Spirit. And what does he do when the devil comes at him? It is written. He quotes the Torah. Jesus probably knew the Torah by heart. It was common for the Jewish boys of that age, from the age of 6 up till 10, possibly 12 years old, they memorized the Torah. Most of the kids by age 12, most of the boys by the age 12, they went to what was called Bethsaida, Seder, and that was basically school. They went every day of the week, they learned the scripture. And I found an interesting story of how one of the rabbis, on the very first day for the kids, when they would come in and begin to learn, to memorize the scripture, he would take their slate and he would cover it with honey. And he would say, "Here you go." And the boys, of course, being boys, would be like, "Yeah, that's pretty good. That tastes good." And they would lick the honey off the slate. And he would say to them, "May the words of God be sweet to your taste, sweeter than honey in your mouth." Jesus probably had memorized the scripture that he had quoted. You know, most of the scripture that he quoted was from Deuteronomy. And so he knew that probably since he was probably 10 or 12 years old. He had that scripture memorized. And one of the things that they did when they memorized the scripture, they would memorize the scripture, but then the rabbi would say, "Can you tell me about this particular verse, or tell me about that particular verse?" In other words, he would ask, the rabbi would say, "Explain to me why we don't do anything on the Sabbath." And the kid would say, the boy would say, because it's Sunday and we just don't do anything, we're bored. And he would say, the rabbi would say, "You have abolished the Torah. You have abolished God's word." But then he would ask someone else, and he would say, "Why do we celebrate the Sabbath?" And the boy would say, "Because it's the Lord's Day, and we want to reflect on what God did and what He does for us." And he would say, "You have fulfilled God's word." Jesus knew the words. There's no doubt in my mind. He knew the words. But we know when he was found at the temple, remember when he was age 12, when he was found at the temple? He had an understanding of those words. If we allow the Holy Spirit to help us understand His words. You see, this is not just letters and ink on a paper. This is the living Word. It's active in our lives. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to interpret and press upon our hearts what this says, guess what? The devil does not have an argument. Do you notice? You notice Jesus said, he quoted scripture, and the devil went, he didn't say anything. The devil had no words. He had nothing to refute it. We believe scripture is more than just words on a page. For the word of God is active, alive, and it's active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Non-Christians will not get it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, this is a textbook. It's words on a page. But when you have the Holy Spirit and you ask the Holy Spirit to interpret, to show you what He wants you to see in this, it takes on a whole different meaning. Scripture is not the written word, but the living word. You've heard me say this many times. When we read something out of here, we need to interpret it in light of the entire Bible. That's saying a whole lot, right? Because there's a lot of content here. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit to help us put it in its proper perspective. If this were just a textbook, would there be any value in coming together and reading it? Would there be any value for me to ask you guys to stand and to read it and study it? Holy Spirit plus God's Word. Devil doesn't have any argument. My absolute favorite verse, I shouldn't say absolute because I got many, but one of my favorite one is Proverbs 3, 4, and 5. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him and He will make your paths straight." Did you catch that? Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. You get it? Trust in God and don't lean on your understanding. Have the Holy Spirit help you understand this. In all your ways acknowledge Jesus Christ and He will direct your paths. I think that's worth saying one more time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Jesus Christ, and He will direct your paths. Will you pray with me? Lord, it's so easy to get sidetracked. It's so easy to get off base. And Lord, it's so easy to get mad at that person that's driving in front of us that cut us off. And it's so easy to get mad at when someone we believe is not living like they should, or it's so easy to get caught up in an argument between other people, and it's so easy to start thinking that our problem is with the flesh and the people around us. But Lord, we know that it's a spiritual battle. Lord, we understand we live in a sin-fallen world, and we know that everything is not a spiritual battle. But Lord, there is a lot of times when it is a spiritual battle. And Lord, we let Satan tell us not to trust God. We allow God, we allow the devil to tell us that God's not necessary. We allow the devil to have us question God and to put Him to the test. So Lord, I pray as we leave here today, we would realize that You would help us realize what is a spiritual battle. And Lord, if it's a spiritual battle, we know the answer. We know we have Your Word, we have the Holy Spirit, we have everything we need. And when we have that, when we recognize that, the devil has no argument and he must flee from us. And Lord, I pray that when we enter into those situations, Lord, that we would see that this is one of those times, and this is what I need to do. I need to call on the Holy Spirit. I need to get in God's Word. And Lord, the devil will flee from us. Lord, thank you for those who have come out today. And Lord, I pray that we would all, including myself, we would leave your house today with a better relationship, just a little closer to you than when we came in this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.